T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Rolling into the second hour, we look forward, of course, to State Farm Insurance Picks of the Week, part of what's on tap today, courtesy of Side Pockets at Kellogg and Tyler. A great place to get your weekend started, Shane.
It is, and you can have a quarter-pound cheeseburger or hamburger with fries for $5.95 today, or a specialty burger with fries for $6.50 today. We don't reiterate it enough. $5.95 is nothing for lunch, by the way. And plus, you get to play pool for free while you wait for your lunch at Side Pockets. Always have.
It's always been one of my favorite
places. As I assume you always can, yeah. So Kellogg and Tyler, the corner of Kellogg and Tyler, your spot for lunch and playing pool at Side Pockets. What's on tap today, a reminder, in case you missed it, first hour. App State and Wichita State, the Charleston Classic. They'll be on the air at 2:30 over on Classic Hits 103.7 KEYN with Mike and Bob. Tip-off at 3:30, or as close as they can get to it, because there's a game before that. KU and Louisiana tonight in the NIT season tip-off, on air at 6, tip at 7 right here on KFH. And then tomorrow afternoon, KU football at Oklahoma, on air at 5, kick at 6:30. Also, right here on your station for sports, KFH. Bob Jones from State Farm will be along 25 minutes from now, as Bruce alluded to, and make our State Farm picks. We'll have eight picks to make anyway. State playoffs continue tonight in high school, state of Kansas. Something to be looking forward to. Keep your eye on this day in sports history coming up, courtesy of Superior Rents. But not to our surprise at all, Christian Yelich, Mookie Betts, your MVP winners in Major League Baseball. We'll start with Christian Yelich first. I thought the how they fell underneath him was maybe more important or more interesting than him winning it. I think we both agreed that he would win. He did. Yelich received 29 of 30 first place votes, 415 points overall. The other first place vote went to Jacob DeGrom, the NL Cy Young Award winner. He finished fifth. DeGrom had one first place, 7 second, and 1 third. DeGrom finished fifth in the MVP voting. That's what kind of year he had on the mound for the Mets.
Yeah.
And Michael Wilbon totally made an ass of himself on TV talking about how important wins are, and I need wins out of my pitcher. I like Mike Wilbon, but that was a hill not worth dying on for me. But anyway, I thought it was interesting, before we talk about Yelich some more, Bruce, that Nolan Arenado finished third, but he almost finished fourth. Freddie Freeman almost got more points than Nolan Arenado did. I don't quite understand that. I like Freddie Freeman as much as the next guy, but Nolan Arenado's won 6 straight gold gloves, 4th straight season with at least 35 homers and 100 RBIs, the second longest streak by a third baseman in big league history. I don't have to convince you, I know that, but Arenado puts up undeniable numbers offensively and defensively every single year.
Colorado effect, obviously, but also he was a little slow down the season stretch. He didn't perform quite the way that he had through most of the season. Can't attest for Freddie Freeman and what he did down the stretch, but it was clear that Arenado was not going to be a contender to win it.
Right. He didn't get any first-place votes. Like I said, Yelich got 29 out of the 30. Javi Baez finished second. He had 19 second-place votes, so pretty much everybody that voted felt like he was the second-best player in the National League. So Christian Yelich becomes the 4th player in Brewers history to win MVP honors. He joins Raleigh Fingers from 1981, Robin Yount in 82 and 89. Both those guys won the award while, of course, Milwaukee was in the American League. Ryan Braun became the Brewers' first MVP as an NL club. That was back in 2011. After the All-Star break, Yelich went crazy. He hit 367 with 25 home runs and 67 RBI in 65 games after the break. And maybe to Bruce's point a little bit, the hotter you finish, maybe the more you impress the voters. You come down the stretch and you're just hot as blazes like Yelich was. Maybe you tend to forget a little bit more about the aggregate numbers of a guy like Nolan Arenado. Who knows? But
well, and Yelich was a guy, though, that did it all, all season long in a good story. I mean, Milwaukee was one of those feel-good stories. And he was the best hitter up and down, one of the better lineups in the National League. Best player.
He will also receive a $100,000 bonus for being named MVP. So that's a nice little bump for him. And the price of the 2022 team option in his contract increased by $1 million because of that. That's kind of interesting. Now his team option in 2022 is $16 million now that he won an MVP. So Christian Yelich, the NL. I know you've been waiting 1 hour and 6 minutes for this, but after a 30-30 campaign and hitting 346 and winning a gold glove, Mookie Betts wins the
American
League
MVP.
Have
a Red Sox be an MVP. That's great. And he deserves it.
He did deserve it.
I mean, who else?
He led the majors in slugging percentage, led the AL in extra base hits. This was a deep American League field, though, you got to admit. We both agree that Mookie Betts outdistanced the field, but it wasn't by a lot because five position players in the American League finished with at least a 7.9 war. The first time that's happened in the American League since 1912. So, again, say what you want about war and these metrics, but there were a lot of really, really good to great American League players this year, and include J.D. Martinez, who finished fourth after he hit 330 with 43 and 130. Finished with a 6.4 war, J.D. Martinez.
And finished fourth.
And finished fourth after all those numbers. Jose Ramirez finished third for the second year in a row. And he was right there with Betts and Trout through about mid-August. But to your point, he hit just 166 with three home runs in the final 40 games. And that dropped his WAR to 7.9. So he had a great year, but he had a tough last month and a half. He did get into the 30-30 club with Mookie Betts. And they're the first players to get that milestone since Trout and Ryan Braun. Both did it in 2012.
Here's a question for you.
All right.
Would J.D. Martinez, if he had stayed in Arizona and not appreciably changed the dynamic of the team, although he would have, but let's just for sake of argument say that they finished about where they did. They were a good team throughout most of the year, contended, and then just faded right at the end. With his numbers and metrics, would he have won the National League MVP over Christian Yelich?
Man, if you're knocking on the door of the Triple Crown,
it's pretty hard to argue, isn't it?
You know? Okay, so Arenado won the RBI title, right? With, 135, something like that? Because I
something
know
like that.
Yelich
sure.
missed it by a few. Trying to compare the numbers here, kind of juggle these things. So J.D. would have won the National League home run title by a lot if he had the exact same numbers.
Mm-hmm.
No, he did. Arenado hit 36 bombs. J.D. had 43. Yelich won the batting title at 326. J.D. Martinez would have beat that. No, he'd have won the Triple Crown of the National League, I think.
Yeah, I think he would have.
He would have.
And thus would have been MVP.
He would have, yeah.
Yep.
And I
finished fourth in the American League.
I would venture to say, here's a hot take for you, the Arizona Diamondbacks could have finished last, and he might have still won the MVP if he'd put those numbers up.
That's a possibility, I suppose.
I mean, triple crowns are kick ass, and they're hard
totally.
To do. And he almost did it. And to Yelich's credit, he almost did it. But of course, American League had numbers that were a little more inflated than, you know, Chris Davis had 42 home runs, I think, if memory serves. It was, and then what did Mookie hit? 346. Mm-hmm. So that batting average, obviously, a little higher in the American League. American League's, you know, there's no pitcher in there, and so, yeah, that was a tough crowd in the American League, but J.D. Martinez finishes sixth there. And so congratulations to Mookie Betts, who won just about everything this year. He's winning in life, put it that way.
Yeah, he is winning in life and beloved in Boston. But and well before winning an MVP and winning a World Series, this is a guy that has really resonated with Red Sox fans.
This probably doesn't have to do with anything, but Mookie Betts hit .415. His slash line was .415, .506, and .738 in 17 games against the Yankees.
That helps.
It's a big reason why he's beloved in Boston, because he's
sure.
a Yankee killer. 22 runs in 17 games against the Yankees and played his best against teams that the Red Sox had to beat for the division title. So,
how long do I get to really enjoy this? Is it February or March when spring training's, you kind of like cash in the good feelings and say, thank you very much for them. I'm really glad to have had them. And now here we go again.
Yeah, now we're all 0-0 again.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
But all the way through Christmas and New Year's, you know,
yeah.
you get to get probably from Sarah and your kids Boston Red Sox ties and Boston Red Sox socks and you know, stick pins and bobbleheads, and you get to
yeah,
be
some headlines. We get newspapers that print out the
there you go Boston
the banners
Herald
from the next day, the championship, which is kind of fun to have.
Yeah.
Got those from 2004 and 7 and 13. So.
Yeah,
it's just nice to have some championships to celebrate.
To the victor belongs
like,
spoils.
For many, many years, we didn't have any at all.
Yeah. So. All right, so those that think baseball is dying, Major League Baseball extended its TV deal with Fox Sports through 2028. The current deal had gone through 2021, so this is just an extension. It's not like they were up against it. Terms were not disclosed, but two people with direct knowledge of the deal said it was for 7 years through 2028 and $5.1 billion. The current deal was for 8 years and $4.2 billion, according to the Sports Business Journal. Fox has been a national television rights holder since 1996. Each year, Fox airs Saturday regular season games, the All-Star Game, several playoff series, and the World Series. The company also broadcasts games in Spanish and on Fox Deportes. Major League Baseball also has media rights with Facebook, ESPN, and Turner Sports. Those contracts are worth $5.6 billion and $2.6 billion, respectively, also running through 2021. The ratings.
I think the game's safe for a while.
The ratings were down, or at least they dropped by 23% from 2017 when the Dodgers and Astros played in seven games. So what does that mean? Nothing?
I don't know what it means.
You know, you follow my logic? I mean, you extend this deal and you pay $5.1 more billion dollars, bringing the total package unofficially for Fox to $9.3 billion since they signed the deal to begin with, and viewership was down 23% this year compared to last. So apparently Fox doesn't care about
those
numbers.
Most of the information that I've gleaned working for Fox, by the way, so is cold weather in the month of April really, really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how that. Now, that more is that's more to do with attendance and things of that nature than it is with eyes on TVs.
Right.
The American League series were pretty well watched. For some reason, the World Series wasn't. I don't know whether people got into the mindset that the Red Sox were going to bludgeon the Dodgers, or because we had an 18-inninger that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, but it lasted forever.
It did.
And it, not many people, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't that, didn't that go deep into the night?
Oh, my gosh. Really deep.
Well.
And so, you know, yeah, in fact, about 1:30.
Yeah.
My time. Is that so? No, let's see. Yeah, probably about 2:30 Eastern time.
At least.
Or something like that.
At least. We talked about this, and I know Major League Baseball is not going to do anything about it. They're not going to adjust their start times because – and let me ask you why they wouldn't, because most of their eyeballs are on the Eastern time zone, right? And how many people were actually awake to see that thriller end?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have that information, but I'd love to know.
To me, it's just common sense.
Yeah.
If all your eyes are, not all, but most of your eyes are on the Eastern Seaboard and you're starting at 8 o'clock Eastern time, I get that you want California people to be able to, if it's on a weekday, to get off work and go watch the games or get off work and watch the games on TV. Maybe there's just not an easy answer for this, but apparently Fox doesn't care one way or the other because they just shelled out a bunch more money. In addition to the content deals, the owners voted to give Rob Manfred a 5-year extension also. At the owners, this all happened at the owners' meeting last few days.
You know, it's a shame that you have the issues with scheduling and when a game is going to start, but the issue is 3 hours difference between the East Coast and the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. You can't please everybody.
Yeah.
You got two monstrous population bases on both the left and the right coasts. And what are you going to do?
Right. Especially when an East Coast team is playing a West Coast team.
Sure.
And
no one wants a delay. Not in this day and age. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
You get information too immediately. So seeing anything on a tape delay doesn't work. So you got to kind of bite the bullet and find a live time that you think is best for whatever you're trying to do, and then do it.
So there you have it. Rob Manfred, who, by the way, is 60 years old, 5-year extension through 2024. He's been the commissioner since August 2014, officially replaced Bud Selig that following January. 869-1240, if you've got thoughts on anything you've heard today on the program. Dennis is with us. Happy Friday, Dennis.
Well, I'm glad to be here on a Friday, and the sun's shining bright, and the birds are singing, and we may get up to 60 degrees again today.
That sounds good to me.
Now, you were talking TV and baseball. Now, I know one thing. One of the things I like to do, just for my own benefit, when my TV guide comes, I immediately turn and look, see what the Nielsen ratings say.
Okay.
Well, in that particular time period in October, NFL football and the World Series dominated the top 10 spots. In fact, they had all of the top 8 spots. NFL football and the World Series. Now, you guys would know a little bit more about it than most of us would, but wouldn't you think, with that kind of domination in the Nielsen ratings, that things can't be all that bad?
Right. Well, that was kind of my point with Fox extending their contract with Major League Baseball for $5 billion. Everything must be okay. That's a lot of money to be thrown around if baseball is in a state of flux or if baseball is in trouble. I mean,
yeah, Matt.
Money talks, Dennis, you know, so they must be okay.
Well, that World Series Game 5, I see it's got a 17.6.
That's a pretty astronomical rating compared to regular programming.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
You see these other top shows, whether it be cable or network, and if they get a 10,
you're right.
They're lucky.
Oh, yeah, they're doing jumping jacks for 10s for sure.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd ask you and see what you experts thought about that.
Well, that means sporting events are through the roof compared to sitcoms, movies, or anything else that's on regular TV. All right, when we come back, we'll make our State Farm Picks of the Week. Got insurance? Reach out to State Farm agents Jim Maddox, Todd Benway, Kevin Shields, Terry Johnson, or Bob Jones for help. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Bob Jones from State Farm will make our State Farm Picks of the Week coming up next on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.